The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm journalist and beauty obsessive Mara Schiavocampo. Today on The Trend Reporter, tackling your top skincare concerns, celebrity dermatologist Dr. Michelle Henry on acne, scars, and stretch marks. What really works in treating them?
So we have lots of tools in our toolkit.
From over-the-counter remedies to fancy lasers to simple lifestyle changes. And what definitely does not work.
Unfortunately, that's a myth.
Plus, how to know if you have the type of stretch marks that can be almost completely erased. Everything you want to know about the beauty and wellness trends worth knowing. Hey, trendsetters. So today we're talking about acne, including body acne, scars, and stretch marks. What causes them, how to prevent them, what works in treating them, and what doesn't work. Because of course, don't want you wasting time and money on things that don't work. So leading us through it all is Dr. Michelle Henry, board certified dermatologist and dermatological surgeon. Dr. Henry, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So we have a lot to get to. This is like an information-packed episode, so I want to get right to it. So let's start with acne on the face. So what are the most common causes of facial acne?
So the most common causes are genetics and hormones, really. You know, a lot of my patients come in, they have acne, they're afraid that it's because they're not cleansing correctly or things of that nature. But really, a lot of it is really just genetics and hormones. You know, that's what we start to see acne around puberty. You know, our oil glands are starting to become active. And whatever your kind of genetic tendency towards having acne will sort of reveal itself at that point. We also have adult onset acne, and which especially in women is typically more hormonal. But really it's genetics and hormones. Then I guess secondarily, things like products. So we'll see, sometimes we can see what we call cosmetic acne, which is acne that we often see on the forehead or the hairline. And we see that from heavy products, especially oily, greasy products that we use on the hair can cause that kind of acne. And then there's acne mechanica, which is the acne we get from friction, which is what we're seeing a lot with masks. But by and large, the two top reasons are hormones and your genetics.
And what about behavioral issues, or not even behavioral, but life circumstances, things like stress specifically, or, you know, there was always, when I was growing up, I remember people always saying, well, if you eat too much chocolate, it's going to clog your pores. I mean, okay, is any of that true? Is the way that we're living our lives and managing stress contributing to acne?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, the chocolate bit can be absolutely
true. Is it true? Oh, no.
So for the longest time, you know, it was a little area of controversy. Dermatologists would say, oh, food doesn't really matter. And then we said food does matter. And now I think most of us firmly believe that what we eat can play a role in the quality and health of our skin and acne, of course. So when we're eating sweets, when we're eating, you know, all those comfort foods that we love, those empty carbohydrates, anything that kind of causes your insulin to kick in can cause a cascade of hormones, which can make your pores stickier. And so when they're stickier and they're oilier, you're more likely to get clogged pores, and clogged pores lead to acne. So absolutely, your food does play a role. So other foods like dairy, we know that dairy tends to be a little bit inflammatory. So those are the kinds of things that can contribute to acne. And we know that healthy foods like salmon, avocado, those foods that have those really healthy oils of omega fats or omega-3s tend to be a little anti-inflammatory, and that's going to be a little bit better for your skin. So absolutely the foods you eat and lifestyle, things like stress. Stress triggers all sorts of hormones. And so stress can play a huge role in acne as well.
And what about water? I always heard that if you drink enough water, you'll have clear skin. You know, that's what my mother always said, but It was clearly genetic because she had gorgeous, flawless skin, like, you know, her entire life.
Unfortunately, that's a myth that's not absolutely true. So if you are absolutely dehydrated, then you will see that, you know, your skin looks, you know, dehydrated. It looks puny. It looks dry. It loses its luster. But outside of that, being super well hydrated is not going to clear your acne. It's not going to get rid of your dark spots. I wish it did, but unfortunately, that's not true.
So then in terms of acne, are there different types? Because, you know, sometimes you get those pimples with like a white head. Sometimes there's those painful bumps under your skin without a real head on them. I feel like there's a million different types of acne.
Yes. So you can have kind of like cystic acne, or you can have comedonal acne, which is like blackheads and whiteheads. So if you look at the individual bumps, if we're going to name them, you can have pustules, which are the ones that we see that have pus in them. You can have a pimple, or like an inflammatory pimple, which is just a red spot that maybe doesn't have pus on it. You can see a blackhead, and then you can see a whitehead. And blackheads are black because oxygen has gotten to that clogged pore and has turned the substance inside kind of black. And whiteheads are those that have not kind of opened up yet. So those are the kind of classic acne lesions that you'll see.
So then is the course of treatment different depending on what type of acne you're battling?
Yep, absolutely. So if you have cystic acne or you have those little inflamed red bumps or pimples or blemishes, whatever we like to call them, those you want treatments that are really anti-inflammatory. So oftentimes we're going to use topical antibiotics, other topical anti-inflammatory agents. When we see that we have comedonal acne, blackheads and whiteheads, oftentimes we can notice they don't hurt in the way that pimples or cysts or pustules hurt. Now, one other lesion that I didn't mention is the nodule. Those are the deep ones that we get. But we see that blackheads and whiteheads don't hurt in that way because they're usually not as inflamed, although they're a little bit inflamed. But the medications we use for those are typically going to be like clog busters. So things that are going to get inside of that pore and get those blackheads and whiteheads out. So things like retinoids, salicylic acid, those sorts of medications, benzoyl peroxide, which can help with both. You know, there's a lot of overlap in what these medications do. But when we're choosing one specifically for that unique feature of that type of acne, that's kind of the approach that we take.
There's nothing in life I love more than squeezing blackheads. When I see a blackhead, I get so excited. Like, I can't wait to get to the mirror in my bathroom, the magnifying mirror, so that I can, like, really get in it. Is that bad for it?
No, it just means that you might have a little dermatologist inside of you, because that's how we all are. Like, sometimes I just can't stop, you know? So I get it.
Do you squeeze other people's pimples? Like, not like your patients, of course, but I mean, like, yeah. Family and friends. Like, are you sneaking up on family and, like, pinpointing something and squeezing it?
You know, before I was a dermatologist, I was sneaking up because it's kind of always been a thing that I've liked. I should have known that I was supposed to be a dermatologist. But now, like, they lead with it. Like, they enter my house and they're like, we need to handle these. So, but before I was a derm, I had to sneak, and now everyone's lining up.
Do you still get a thrill? There's something thrilling. It's so satisfying when you get it and it all comes out.
It's like popping, like, bubble wrap, you know, like, you just lose yourself and you're like, where's another? That's why my patients love it, because they're like, you're so thorough. And it's because I enjoy getting rid of every single one of them. So
right. You're definitely in the right line of work. So aside from squeezing them, what are some of the treatments? I mean, you mentioned medications, yeah. And I imagine that the medication is going to be specific to the type of acne. Is there kind of a broad recommendation you can give to anyone who's listening who is struggling with acne?
So for most people, if it's completely cystic, then I may use a topical antibiotic, something like clindamycin. There's another topical anti-inflammatory treatment called Dapsone, which I will use sometimes. There's azelaic acid that you can get over the counter, which is also somewhat anti-inflammatory. I like that in particular, especially for brown skin, because it can treat acne, but it can also lighten those dark spots that we get after acne. So that's something else that I use. Many people will have, you know, clogged pores, even if it's not the predominant feature in your acne. So I'm a huge fan of retinoids. They're also anti-inflammatory. So even if you don't have the blackheads, they're still going to help you. So over the counter, you can get different. That's a prescription strength. The generic is called Adapalene. You can get salicylic acid over the counter, of course. Benzoyl peroxide will help with both types of acne. You can get that over the counter. You know, niacinamide is soothing, so it helps a little bit. It's a little anti-inflammatory. I love exfoliation because, you know, with any type of acne, it's all about the pore. It's all about making sure those pores are unclogged, that you're getting out that oil, dirt, and debris. So I love exfoliative washes, you know, make sure it's not too harsh for your skin. But it's going to be about exfoliation, hydrating your skin, and making sure you have a good intact skin barrier. Because if your skin barrier is compromised, your acne treatments, you won't be able to tolerate them. So don't not moisturize because you have acne. You still need to moisturize, just with something that's not really heavy. And then thinking about those sorts of ingredients that I listed.
And what about any lifestyle modifications?
Yeah, so healthy, well-rounded diet. So things like salmon, avocado, staying away from dairy if you feel like you might be flaring, staying away from chocolate, and all of those empty carbohydrates are going to play a role as well. Trying to reduce your stress, you know, think about how you're sleeping, change your pillowcases. If you tend to have really oily skin or you're using oily products, wash your phone, you know, wipe your phone down throughout the day. If you're getting something like maskne, change your your mask, use masks that are breathable, that have less friction, wash them, use single-use masks. Think about those things in your life that are coming into contact with your skin and how they might contribute to your acne.
And then what about for body acne? So are there the different types, like you just mentioned, for your face, or is body acne a little more consistent?
So body acne, you can also have comedonal versus cystic. But again, a big part of body acne for most of my patients, it's exfoliation plays a role. So you want to exfoliate, unclog those pores. Same sorts of treatments, same sorts of topicals. Other things that I do on the face and the body, there's some lasers that I like. There's a particular laser called the Aerolace laser, which is safe for all skin types, doesn't compromise the upper layer of the skin, and can have really dramatic results on anyone. So a lot of my patients maybe don't want to take oral medications, so it's nice to have a laser that really does work. So that's something I use a lot. Chemical peels can help as well. And then, of course, if we're not seeing any improvement with any of those kind of topical or oral medications or lasers, if we're not seeing improvement with any of the topical or laser treatments, we may consider some oral medications. And so oral medications include things like oral antibiotics that we use for a very short period of time, or oral hormonal medications that kind of change the way your hormones interact with your skin. And then, of course, a medication that we save for if you're really quite severe and you're the right patient, something like Accutane. So we have lots of tools in our toolkit to use on anyone who has face or body acne.
All right, let's move on now to scars. So we all know, you know, scar is the result of an injury, right? Mm-hmm. But what causes one injury to scar and something else to just heal without a trace?
So it's about the depth of the trauma. The depth of the trauma and the pigmentation in the skin also plays a role as well. So very, 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 very superficial trauma in many people won't cause anything. So if it's just on the epidermis, it's just, you know, the first few layers of the skin, you may see a little scratch and that's it. You know, it might be a little red, but it's not going to heal with hyperpigmentation or a scar. The deeper you get, you're going to get more hyperpigmentation. And then it depends on your skin type. Darker skin types tend to get more hyperpigmentation because there's just more melanin hanging out, ready to leak into the area whenever there's inflammation.
Melanin is popping. It's just waiting.
You know, it's beautiful and protective, but when you don't mess around with it because it's right. Fussy. So it depends on the depth and, of course, the kind of skin you have.
So then, you know, I remember a doctor friend of mine recommending that if you ever get a really bad cut and you're at the hospital, to request a plastic surgeon, mm-hmm. because the way that they address it in those first few minutes mm-hmm. could be the difference between a really bad scar and something that's not noticeable, especially if it's on your face.
Yeah.
And he said, like, you have that right. Like, you know, tell them you want a plastic surgeon to do this. So short of that, right, if you're at the hospital, that's already a pretty bad injury. Yeah. If you're at home, you've mm-hmm. hurt yourself in some way, what are some ways that you can manage that injury and treat it so that it's less likely to scar?
One thing you need to do is assess if you need to have it sutured. So if it's a deep injury, don't wait for it to heal and become a wide, ugly scar. Go into the emergency room, have it sutured. If it's not something that needs to be sutured, then it's all about inflammation. So trauma it's inflammation that causes the problem. So, you know, use healing ointments, things like Aquaphor, things like Vaseline. You know, everything heals better in kind of a moist, more aqueous environment. Cells just thrive in that way. So using things that are going to keep the area from drying out. You know, when you let something become a hard scab, that contributes to poor scarring. So keeping something moist, keeping it covered is going to help you heal a little bit better, especially in the beginning. Sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen. So we don't want it to hyperpigment. So those new little cells that come in, they really don't have all of their protective factors. So we want to protect them from UV light, which is damaging. So we don't want damage. We also don't want hyperpigmentation. So protecting it from the sun. And then one of the few things over the counter that actually has some relatively good science behind helping scars are using silicone. So silicone sheets, silicone containing products are some of the few things that we can access over the counter that actually may have some efficacy. So those are probably the top three things you can do.
And then once you have a scar, you know, my daughter hurt herself when she was 2. She got this huge scrape. It was like from her knee to her ankle. And I remember, and it was in the pool. She scraped herself on the side of the pool. And I remember thinking like, oh God, I hope she doesn't have this scar because it takes up her whole shin. She does have that scar. Now it's, I mean, she's a doll no matter what. It's not like a thing. But okay, now she has the scar. So what? Anything to do now? Is there any remedy once the scar is present?
Yeah, so we have a lot of treatments that we can use. So it depends on the type of scar. So some scars, what the feature that stands out is the pigmentation. So if it's red, we can use a laser like a V-beam laser, or we have other lasers that are vascular in nature. So we use a laser to get rid of the red. If it's dark, we can use creams to get rid of the dark, peels to get rid of the dark, or even lasers to take care of the dark. There's a laser called the varying types of pico lasers, which are these really fast lasers that work really quickly and target pigment, can help with that. And let's say part of the scar is just texture. So it has irregular texture, and that's what catches your eye when you look at the scar. Then I like to use fractionated lasers, which are these lasers that make little tiny holes of trauma to the skin, little microscopic trauma. And when we create that microscopic trauma, the body starts to, it triggers wound healing. And wound healing is a deposition of new healthy collagen. And that new collagen helps to thicken the scar, especially if the scar is like atrophic or flattened and sunken in. But it also might help to blur the lines of the scar, so you don't have that really harsh, stark demarcation line that separates a scar from the normal skin. So those are some of the techniques that we use in the office to make them look better.
Do you find that the whitening creams work?
Sometimes. So the creams that we see over the counter don't always work. And even just plain old hydroquinone, you know, 4%, which is the standard, doesn't work. So I compound special concentrations for my patients all the way up to 15%, which is significantly higher than the 4%. I really control it. I only give my patients a little bit and I use it for a very short period of time. But I find that the compounds that we make with really specific ingredients can work significantly better than just the plain old hydroquinone.
I just bought this. I found it on Amazon, but it was very highly reviewed because I have these brown spots on these dark spots on my knees from yoga, you know, because I do like a cat cow and child's pose probably every day, twice a day. Because, you know, I try to do in the morning and at night. It's like a mix of glycolic acid, kojic acid. It's all these acids. So I'm doing a spot test just on one knee, so I have a basis of comparison. And so also, if it's a disaster, I won't screw up both knees. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's turn to stretch marks. Something I want to say about stretch marks, and it's important for me to say this because I want to send some love to anybody who feels like they are struggling with stretch marks. Mm-hmm. I have stretch marks. I actually think they're really beautiful. So I just want to lead with love. You know, when I look at stretch marks, I think they're like really cool tiger stripes. Sometimes they remind me of like a watermelon. You know how you can tell like a watermelon is juicy and like ready to eat because the stripes have stretched so much. Yeah. Like, I just think they're pretty. So, you know, I just want to send that message out there to someone who maybe hates their stretch marks.
I can't think of a woman who doesn't have them. And it's as normal as having skin, you know, so it shouldn't. For me, it shouldn't be this wild thing. It's like having a knee. You know, I have a knee, I have a stretch mark. We all have them and it's normal. And of course we get more of them when we have things like pregnancy. If it's to a point where you feel like you need to treat it, there are some things that we can do, but I agree with you. We should normalize it.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. But at the same time, I also don't want to dismiss, you know, because then there's that fine line of saying, well, just love yourself. And people are like, no, this really bothers me. So I want to honor that too. Exactly. So for people who are really bothered by stretch marks, you know, you hear people using cocoa butter, a lot of like skin moisture during pregnancy or when they know that their skin is growing. Do those things work in preventing stretch marks?
Yeah. So, you know, I have patients that will absolutely swear by that. However, there's no science proving that that actually helps.
So once you have them, if you're unhappy with them, what are the treatment options?
So, you know, it depends on the stage of the stretch mark. So if your stretch mark is red, And it's early and we catch it early. There are some really great things we can do. So one of my favorites is the Fraxel laser. So I now that we know that it works, I have sometimes even young girls who come in, they're growing breasts and their mom says her entire breast is a stretch mark, but it's red. Can we treat it? And within two treatments, we can almost, you know, make them almost imperceptible. So when they're early and they're red, we can treat them. When they're dark and they're purple, sometimes we can still get some improvement. By the time they've become really white, which are the old stretch marks, there's just not a lot that we can do for them. Sometimes, you know, Fraxel will help somewhat. It's something that in my office, I never oversell that, because whereas I can give you a strong sell on the red stretch marks, so I've done it time and time again, white stretch marks that are old are really hard to treat. And so the improvement is little, but if you were going to do something, sometimes microneedling can help. Sometimes that same Fraxel laser can help. There's something called carboxy therapy, which I don't do a lot of, but in the literature, it's really popular in places like Brazil. In the literature, that can help. And I have some colleagues that they say they see some improvement with that. But with your stretch marks, when you notice them, come in early. So like my moms that start noticing them, they're in their like 7th or 8th month and they're like, I'm getting them. We make a plan for, you know, shortly after they deliver to come in and start treating them while they're red and relatively fresh, because we know we can get a wow if we treat them early.
And anything, I mean, you've mentioned lasers. Is there anything that we can do at home? Any kind of home remedies that are effective?
Yeah. So some of the things that are more likely to be effective are treatments that stimulate collagen. So things like your retinoids. So topical prescriptions, of course, going to be better than the over-the-counter, which is just a little bit less effective. But any retinoid medications that help to stimulate collagen, because, you know, a stretch mark is just a scar. It's a scar kind of from the inside. And so anything that's going to stimulate collagen in the same way that all of those lasers I discussed help to stimulate collagen for our standard scars from the outside can also help. So retinoids can help, you know, exfoliation in some ways, like with like glycolic acid, not going to be as dramatic as something like a retinoid, but in theory, anything that stimulates a little bit of collagen can help. You know, I've had patients even use those little derma rollers, and they report that they get some improvement. Of course, never going to be like what you'd get with an in-office procedure, but whatever you can do at home that might help to stimulate some collagen, you might notice some improvement in stretch marks.
Would a self-tanner work?
Absolutely. You can camouflage it any way you like.
When things start to get warm over the summer, I want to do a whole like body makeup episode. I'm obsessed with body makeup. Okay, so now that you've given us the full breakdown, I'd like to do a rapid fire round of always, sometimes, never. Squeezing a pimple with your fingernails.
Never.
Okay. I'm so guilty of that. Squeezing a pimple with cotton swabs.
At home, you have to be very careful, because if it is not excellent precision, you can make it worse. But if it's very uncomfortable, you just need to release it. I'll give you permission occasionally, but it could make it worse.
Toothpaste on a pimple.
Never. Toothpaste.
Never.
Yeah. Toothpaste for teeth, you know, and although it looks like that old school Clearasil we used to use, it's not the same. I see patients come in with burns and irritation and inflammation from toothpaste. So never.
Interesting. Using extraction tools, because we can buy them now on, you know, online.
I would give that a soft never, because it's just, it's really hard for someone to use really equal and even pressure when they're treating themselves.
Manual exfoliants, so scrubbing.
Always. I love manual exfoliants, unless you're very, very sensitive.
Okay. Salicylic acid products, so over-the-counter stuff.
Yeah. Almost always. if you're pregnant, no. And if you're particularly sensitive to salicylic acid, no. But most people can tolerate it in a low concentration.
For scar prevention, honey on a wound.
I'll say always for honey, because, you know, what I want you to do when you have a scar on a wound that's healing is to keep it in a nice aqueous environment. And honey will do that. And honey's also slightly antibacterial. So that's going to be always safe for your wound.
Okay. For scar prevention, aloe on a wound.
aloe also on a wound, a healing wound, I'd say yes for aloe. So aloe is going to be a humectant. It's going to keep it moist. And if a wound is actively healing, that's the kind of environment that you want. So I'll say always for aloe.
For stretch marks, preventing stretch marks, cocoa butter.
Unfortunately, never. So we have studies showing that, you know, a lot of those topical treatments just don't really help to prevent. It might make you feel good, especially, again, if you have a distended belly and you're pregnant, but not going to prevent the stretch marks.
And for any kind of scarring, whitening creams.
Sometimes. So if you have a scar that's really hyperpigmented, and when you look at it, the first thing that catches your eye is that it looks different from the surrounding skin because it's so dark, then lightening creams can help. So for certain scars, yes.
Dr. Henry, thank you for your time. You always offer such great insight and advice. Where can people find you on social media?
So you can find me at Dr. Michelle Henry on Instagram. I'm there. I'm active. I answer questions and I love to teach there. So hope to see you guys there.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to know what trends you have questions about. So hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Mara S. Combo. You can also check out the Trend Reporter on YouTube, covering all of the newest trends, including tutorials on everything from food to beauty. That's youtube.com/Mara S. Combo. The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.